Welcome to Tech Fans on Tap, episode 15. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo, Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work during the week at sportsmap.com. Jack Bream is producing. Gents, we knew this was going to be a tough game because the Bucks have a good defense. We didn't account for every step of the way, the difficulty getting ratcheted up injury after injury. By the end of the game, it was a who's who, who is that? None more so than Dare Ogunbowale. CJ Stroud and the offense only managed 10 points in the first half, but they win a shootout with 39 without their place kicker. Where does this Texans win rank in the franchise's history in regards to excitement and improbability? And then second, what happened in the second half that allowed CJ to have so much success?
Well, when you factor in that it turned out to be a point orgy, you know, if you want to upgrade for that, none of us had it as a 76-point total, 39-37 game. And right strategy, kneeling down, not risking a kick block or a fumble, but boy, those who gave the Texans in 2.5. That's why it's called gambling, boys and girls. Look, they've had bigger wins in the moment. Really, 2 decades into the franchise, I thought it was kind of sad that you could still argue the greatest win in Texans history was the very first game because they beat the Cowboys as an expansion team. The J.J. Watt interception just before the half against Cincinnati, their first ever playoff game. Also, the expansion year, maybe the most bizarre win I can think of for any team. The Texans had 47 yards of total offense the entire game, 3 first downs the entire game. David Carr completed 3 passes the entire game, and they blew out the Steelers in Pittsburgh, 24-6, as Aaron Glenn had a couple of interceptions, returns for touchdowns. Those were all amazing wins. So I don't want to get into recency bias, but in terms of now what seems possible in the Texans' future, I mean, they're no Super Bowl contender this year, but when you have quarterback right and you have it with a rookie who, in relative terms, you have on the serious cheap for the next 3 years, and you are awash in salary cap space this coming offseason, the fast-forward button on the Texans' return to first even looking like an NFL team, but now becoming a real threat and factor in the NFL, Star Trek, Warp Factor 5, Scotty. So by that criterion, it was one of the more exciting days, obviously, in the last 3.5 years, there's been no competition. And then you throw in, if you're a Texans fan and Cowboy loather, the Cowboys get the ball late in the game, actually with 46 seconds left. Same exact time left. Good job, Pro Football Talk, on that component. As the Texans had, C.J. Stroud becomes the toast of the town. Dak Prescott takes a terrible sack and a delay of game, and the Cowboys fall just short. So for Texans fans, they haven't had a better Sunday than this in a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, this was, and I've heard a lot of Texans fans echo this, this is a game they usually lose, and they came back and won this one. Look at what you have. I never thought we'd be saying this. The Texans have what it appears to be a top 10 quarterback. You could argue even better than that, but Richard Sherman came out and said that today on Undisputed. RG3 was tweeting it yesterday. You can just see it. And I mean, all these stats, we've seen what Adam Schefter's been tweeting out. I mean, he's doing stuff that only Tom Brady's done and that some other rookies have never done before. So, and with who they're doing it with, I like to listen to Undisputed, see what the national media thinks, First Take, those kind of shows, especially when the Texans perform well. And they made a great point when they were talking about the Cowboys and the Texans. They were like, Noah Brown, you know, he was with the Cowboys for several years. They never got performances like that out of him, what C.J. Stroud got out of him on Sunday. So it's just amazing. He really is lifting up the talent. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, you saw the tight ends get involved, have a huge day. So really impressed. There are some things to look at. I think Bobby Sloak did a good job of listening to C.J. Stroud. Let's open this thing up. We can't run the ball. So we just got to put it in your hands and let you throw it. And there are a couple squirrely things. I thought of the Wildcat formation that they went to after they got stuffed for like a 2-yard loss trying to run the ball. And then C.J. bailed you out, throwing a touchdown to Dalton Schultz. So stuff like that. And credit to C.J. When you come out and kind of question, are we being aggressive enough, stuff like that, then it's going to be on you to perform that next week and prove that you're right. And CJ did exactly that.
To the second part of your question, Brandon, what changed? I'll go to a baseball analogy. You know, sometimes a starting pitcher, it takes 2, 3, 4 innings to really get into his stride. And if you don't get him early, it'll take control of the game. The first half, the Texans' offense was not good. C.J. Stroud was pretty inaccurate, missing pretty badly on a couple of throws. But he settled in, whether you got to some urgency in the second half with the Buccaneers holding a two-score lead, and then you know you're without your kicker, so you're going for two-point conversions after your touchdowns. I think that just furthers the, hey, we need to put it in the end zone every time we have the ball. The Texans' mentality, not driving, well, I mean, at least get three out of it. No, because until they had the shot for the lead and kicked a shorter than an extra point field goal, which was quite a kick, both literally and figuratively. And then Stroud was kind of like a craps thrower who just gets on a run. And it was 7-7-7. The game-winning drive, the Buccaneers played some lousy defense, but credit to the offensive line where Stroud had time to throw, time for Tank Dell to get down the field. The game-winning touchdowns, the pièce de résistance, but the throw before that, where he puts it in perfectly on a deep corner route, right? Dell comes down in bounds. It's going to be a scramble to even get the ball snapped to kill the clock, but hits him perfectly in stride, an easy toe drag of the second foot. Not for us mere mortals easy, but for Dell, you know, there was no question he was getting that second foot down out of bounds with 10 seconds to go. Just a perfect throw. I thought the better throw. I mean, the touchdown pass was a gorgeous throw as well. But on back-to-back plays to do that, and just to take it back to the original question, I mean, the only win of any sort of recent vintage that registers to me was when the Texans were pretty much fetal position curled up dead against Buffalo. Down 16-0 in the playoffs here, and then Deshaun Watson had a big second half, that amazing scramble, and hits Tywan Jones. They wind up winning that in overtime. So the stakes were much higher in that game. You're obviously facing a much better team than the Texans beat in the Buccaneers. But not only for the win that gets them back to 500 and at least keeps them on the periphery of the playoff picture, as the calendar midpoint of the schedule is here, 9 of the 18 weeks done, the Texans 8 games done, not quite half the schedule. They'll get there Sunday night in Cincinnati. But for the here and now, right, stay within touch, 2 games back of Jacksonville. If you can be at least there when the Jaguars are in town 3 games from now. But more, the big picture, that the Texans have their quarterback, and as I mentioned, you have him on that rookie contract for 3 more years. This is an amazing window for the Texans to really vault forward as a franchise.
Yeah, and beating the Colts on the final game of the season, now that stuff kind of doesn't matter. It looks like you got the right quarterback. Bryce Young, you lost to him last week, but this week you hit 2 pick sixes and then another interception. Just a really poor performance. I know there's not as much talent over there with the Panthers, but, you know, Thielen's a good receiver. He has some pieces. So it just looks like you got the pick right. And you got the coach right. So the needle's just pointed up here for the Texans. And I saw some people kind of poo-pooing the win over the Bucs, like, oh, big deal. They don't even have a winning record. But I'm like, okay, well, then who else have the Texans beat? They beat the Jags. They're 6-2. Who else have they beat? No, they beat the Steelers. They're 5-3. Who else? The Saints. They're 5-4. So don't tell me that they're just beating bad teams and that's all they can do, because it's not the case. They play up to their competition, but unfortunately, sometimes they play down to it as well.
I mean, they were looking at a third game all against NFC South opponents where the defense capitulates on the final drive of the game and you swallow an L. And with 46 seconds left and no timeouts starting at your 25, where you needed the touchdown, right? Being down 4. I don't know what the logarithm percentage is, likelihood of going the 75 yards. And one thing I do think that can help a team in that spot is, you know, you need the touchdown. So you're not playing to get in field goal range. You know, you need pedal to the metal aggression. And when they hit the first big play to get them out of the 25 in their own end, that was to Brown, right? To get him out across the 40 right away. Yeah. I mean, 5 for 5 plus just a spike to kill the clock. That was, again, a pitcher's version of a perfect game from C.J. Stroud on that winning drive. In fact, the next 3 questions you pose, Brandon, if they're open-ended answers, whatever it might be, who's going to win the World Series next year? C.J. Stroud. Who could settle things in the Middle East? C.J. Stroud. Who should win Houston's mayoral race? C.J. Stroud. Default answer for the next 48 hours.
Yes. Who's going to be in the most thumbnails on our videos? It will be C.J. Stroud. Let's talk about the run offense a little bit, because that's been a blemish on this team for several weeks now. They were without Damian Pierce, but even with Damian Pierce, they haven't had much success running. They were without him yesterday. And really, once Kyahmi Fairbairn went down, and it became evident that this was going to have to be a shootout, that field goals were no longer going to play into this game, it seemed like the offense took on a different tenor. They knew they had to score touchdowns and touchdowns only. Seeing as what the results were, and I know, again, it's the Bucs, so we have to kind of measure what our thought process is here, but is there anything to be learned from what we saw when the offense really relied heavily on C.J. Stroud that you can take into a game in which maybe it's not such an extreme circumstance as not having a place kicker and not having your number one running back?
Look, Tom Brady set the record 17 games versus 16 for most pass attempts in the season. If you can't run the ball worth a damn, stop trying to run the ball, at least with adamancy that we're going to pound, we're going to ground and pound, we're going to run, we're going to stay committed to the running game, as long as you don't feel you are really imperiling your quarterback. But rookie C.J. Stroud, this isn't David Carr 2002, where every time he dropped back, look out! And I just love Stroud's poise in the pocket. He can run, but he's never really looking to run. He's moving around to buy time, keeping his eyes downfield. That 8 games into his career, he's still thrown just one interception. Amusing, certainly, in the aftermath of the result, that he throws one on the failed 2-point conversion. Well, that doesn't count in the statistics. It's a 2-point conversion. It's not a statistical play. So what's he at, 14-1?
Yep.
Rookie quarterback, grizzled veteran, all-time great. 14-1 touchdown to interception ratio is insane. And C.J. Stroud's done it the first 8 games of his pro career.
Yeah, that 14-1 ratio, that is a record that ties Tom Brady for the best ratio in the history of the NFL. That's a pretty good list to be on for a rookie with Tom Brady. I think the other adjustment they made, and it was, you know, part CJ, part Slowick, was we saw those graphics going around on Twitter last week, how they were so predictable. They were running on first and second down more than almost any other team. They changed that up. They stopped running on first down so much in this game against the Bucs. Clearly, it worked. You're not digging yourself out of a hole of 2nd and 9 or even worse, you know, 2nd and 12. You're not doing that anymore. Give yourself a chance. That was the thing people complained about with even Bill O'Brien going back years before. Throw early. Don't put yourself in a hole like that. So it's nice to see a team that with a little bit of awareness and can pivot from week to week instead of from season to season.
And if you can protect, you know, I'm still not thinking the ideal is 45, 50 pass attempts per game. And even yesterday, Stroud came in at 42, which was lower than the first 2 games on average of the season. But if you can protect enough, and passing should be 90% of your productivity because it's what you're good at as an offense, you can take the starch out of the pass rush late in the game. If snap after snap, they need to be firing after the ball. And if they can get some pressure on, but, you know, then they're chasing the rabbit in the patch, and CJ's getting away and a big low defensive lineman. Now we got to line up and go after him again. So, you know, if it's dance with who brung you, the Texans offense, it's all about CJ Stroud in that passing game.
Charlie, you hit on it. The story of the game was almost the defense cratering again in crunch time, from penalties to the secondary just getting beat over the top to not being able to recover a red zone fumble that would have sealed the game. The defense has looked solid for most of the season. They're still middle of the pack as far as points allowed. But what's happening, especially late in games, that's making this defense so porous?
Yeah, because they don't appear to be going flat out, prevent, drop the safeties way back. You know, maybe their pass rush is losing a little starch late in games. And then Will Anderson gets knocked out a little bit late. You take him off the field, and obviously that hurts. And sometimes, you know what? The other team just makes some plays. I'm sure on the Tampa St. Pete side of the coin, they're thinking, our defense just fell apart. How do you let them go right down the field like that in 46 seconds? Well, C.J. Stroud makes a couple of hellacious throws. Tank Dell, quick as a hiccup, is a tough cover. And sometimes you just get beat. So maybe that's part of it with the Texans' defense. Baker Mayfield on balance played a very solid game himself. We talked last week about what an elite career Mike Evans has had to this point, so that he gets deep one time. You'd prefer it doesn't happen, but I mean, Mike Evans has burned a bunch of people in his decade in the league. You know, overall, the Texans outgained the Bucs by over 100 yards. They lost the turnover battle, had 115 yards in penalties, and still won. So if it's winning ugly, beats losing pretty every time.
Yeah, the Texans really struggled last season, especially against the run game. We know that. And they've cleaned some of that up. but it's running backs in particular. Rashad White had a nice game. He had 2 touchdowns rushing, but he also caught 4 balls for 46 yards. Baker Mayfield did a nice job of avoiding the pass rush. This team, they're just not good at sacking the quarterback. Right now, they're 29th in the NFL with only 16 sacks. They got a couple against the Bucs on Sunday, but as you were just watching it, Baker just kept escaping and picking up first downs. And you had some big penalties, too. That kind of hurt them. I remember early in the game, Godwin had a completion on 3rd and long after a bad holding penalty where they should not have picked up that first down, and they grabbed it no problem. Shaq Griffin also had a huge penalty that led to a field goal. So little things like that, they got to clean up. But for me, I think it's mostly pass rush. He just had all day. And if you let Baker scramble around like that with those wide receivers, he's going to pick up some first downs, especially late in games when the defense is a little gassed, Will Anderson's in and out, that kind of thing. So, and it looks like that's going to be an issue going forward. The defense is just kind of middle of the pack, and towards the end of games, they have trouble getting off the field.
Yeah, improved defense, but in terms of personnel, no one's going to confuse the Texans with the Ravens or the Browns.
Well, I think that pretty well surmises the game. Give me your player of the game. And I mean, there are some heroes definitely to be told in this game alone. But Charlie, let's start with you. Who's your player of the game?
Well, in violation of my own premise, if Josh is going there, I'll leave it for him. But of course, it's CJ Stroud. But I'm going to go with Dario Gunbowale. Not just because D'Amico Ryan said so in the locker room after the game, but what a story. Most famous to this point for being the brother of the woman who hit game-winning shots in the college basketball Final Four a few years ago for Notre Dame to win both the semifinal and then the national championship at the buzzer. Today, this week, she's his sister rather than he being her brother. The Bucs helped with a couple of stupid penalties to get the kickoff from midfield. But his kickoffs, you know, getting into the end zone and converting the field goal, which was just a very fun moment, as well as an integral play in the game. So I shall go for Ogunbowale.
Yeah, it's obviously I could pick one of these receivers or Schultz, the tight end. They all had huge games, but I'm going with CJ Stroud. I'm taking the low hanging fruit. He's the one breaking records, new historic things we've never seen before. So we've got to give it up to CJ.
I'm going to go with Tank Dell, who made himself a target late in the game. 6 receptions for 114 yards. That's 19 yards per catch. And obviously just a couple of huge touchdown receptions, none bigger than the last one. So that's going to be it for Texans on Tap for this episode. We're doing an early look at Texans Bengals in tomorrow's episode. And as always, you can listen to that early on podcast. So give us a follow on your favorite podcast app and go check that out. Thanks for listening. As always, go Texans.